Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari here at the VSiN Circus Studio. Of course, we have Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray at the South Point Sportsbook here to talk about every crazy thing that happened in the NFL Conference Championship weekend. It looks like Tom Brady is headed back to his 10th Super Bowl, this time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after the Bucs beat the Packers 31-26. According to BetMGM VP of Trading Jason Scott, this was David Purdom, I believe, tweeted this. The Buccaneers upsetting the Packers was the best result BetMGM has had on a single event in 12 months. Tim Murray, what did you think of this game?
That was a disaster. We'll get into it later, but the Green Bay Packers just handed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that game. Just coaching malpractice, multiple gaffes throughout that game. I still can't get over the end of the first half. The Scotty Miller complete botch of a defensive call by Mike Pettine and Matt LaFleur opting to kick a field goal down 31-23 from the 9-yard line. So many things about that game just were infuriating if you had the Packers -3 like I did, and I know my partner in crime did as well.
Yeah, it was a crime. The Packers were a disaster. That's a good way to describe it. It was shocking to me how poorly the Packers coached and played that game yesterday, and we'll get into more details on it throughout the show, but I'm still ticked off about the way that game unfolded yesterday. Fortunately, the Chiefs came through, which made things a little bit better, but still, the Packers, it was a choke job, simply put, and it's inexcusable. Some of the things that took place in that game on the part of Green Bay yesterday.
That's right. Now, Matt, you mentioned the Chiefs did come through. They beat the Bills in that AFC Championship game 38-24. They're headed to another Super Bowl. What did you think of how this game played out?
Well, the Chiefs were far more impressive, I think, than the Buccaneers were. Like Tim said, the Packers kind of handed the game to the Bucs. Now, you have to give the Bucs some sort of credit. They've won three consecutive road games in the playoffs, but the past two opponents, the Saints and the Packers, coughed it up. The Chiefs just took it yesterday, and they dominated the Bills basically on both sides of the ball. This game was not that close. Patrick Mahomes looked good. He's obviously a little bit hobbled with the foot injury. But the Chiefs rolling up 38 points. Mahomes passing for 325 and three touchdowns without a pick. And Tyreek Hill is just tough to contain. Hill and Kelce are just awesome weapons for Patrick Mahomes. And there was a lot of debate about what the Super Bowl line should be, 2.5, 3, 3.5. We'll get into that. But I did not fault the guys at the Westgate Superbook or anywhere else for opening Chiefs -3.5. I thought there would be more interest on that side.
Yeah, I thought I was hoping because the look-ahead lines, Danielle, last week at most spots were under a field goal for this matchup. So I was hoping that we would get 2.5, and I would have quickly pounced on the Chiefs. I'm still thinking about the Chiefs at -3. You know, the one thing, and obviously we'll have 2 weeks to dissect it, to keep in mind is that the Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher lost for the year to an Achilles tear, and what did the Buccaneers take advantage of yesterday? David Bakhtiari being out on the left side of the line, and they really wreaked a ton of havoc. Give a lot of credit to Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Schemed, I thought, a really great game yesterday for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But to the Chiefs, yeah, to go down 9-0, and it just never fazed them. Just like that, it was 14-9, and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill is at times a cheat code. I mean, he gets out in space. He feels like he's ducking under defenders. I mean, it's really impressive to watch the speed that Tyreek Hill has. And the Chiefs right now seem to be rolling. And now you also have 2 weeks, Danielle, for Patrick Mahomes to continue to heal up on that turf toe, so he could be even more mobile come the Super Bowl.
What about on the other side of the ball? What did you think of the Bills? Was it what you were expecting from them, or did they fall short of expectations? What do you think?
Bills had a great season. They're probably a year ahead of schedule. You know, the Bills are a year or two away from being in a position where they can win a game like this on the road against a Patrick Mahomes-led team. So, yeah, Josh Allen toughed it out. He played well, but they were outclassed, and it was that simple. And the Chiefs, by the way, Tim, covered a game for the first time since November 1st.
Yeah, I'd heard that. I had heard that stat. A lot of people were saying that as they were grabbing the points with Buffalo. The loss of Zach Moss was big because they became a one-dimensional team, Daniel.
Absolutely. Well, as you can see, we have a lot more to unpack here. So stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Danielle Avari here at the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Matt Humans and Tim Murray holding down the fort at the South Point Sportsbook. Great show ahead for you. Brent Musburger will be joining us in just a few moments. Jimmy Vaccaro will be in studio. And at the top of the next hour, we'll have Vinny Maiulo join us. Matt?
All right. It's always a great show when we have the guys in the desert. Brent Musburger, Jimmy V, and VSiN Vinny. And also Sean Salisbury is going to jump in with us today to talk about the Super Bowl matchup. I prefer it were Packers-Chiefs.
Me and you both.
But instead, we get Tom Brady for the 10th time. It's Buccaneers-Chiefs. It's still a great matchup. And Patrick Mahomes said it yesterday. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl is going to be a great experience for me. And John Murray of the Westgate Superbook said this last night when I was talking to him, and he's, I think he's right. He said, quote, when you look back in 30 years, Brady Mahomes might be the greatest quarterback matchup in Super Bowl history.
Hard to disagree. Yeah. And, you know, you think about, I feel like somebody used this comparison, but it's like if we saw LeBron play Michael Jordan. I mean, This is Tom Brady on his way out, but still finding ways to get to a Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes may be the guy who can meet or get somewhere close to the level of accomplishment that Tom Brady has set. The bar is so ridiculously high, man.
Yeah, if somebody's going to become the new GOAT and replace unseat Tom Brady, it might be Patrick Mahomes someday. He's got to win this Super Bowl. Let's bring in Brent Musburger, the voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. Brent, it's snowing today in Las Vegas. Is it snowing out at your house?
It was. It was a little bit up here in Summerlin, but it was great and refreshing to see it. Rainfall started about 2 o'clock in the morning last night, as you know, Matt, and going to continue through the day off and on, something we badly need here in the valley. So I was happy to see it, but I did notice that we didn't have much snow in Green Bay yesterday. You know what I mean?
Could have used that snow.
This is great football weather.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is great football weather in Vegas. Hey, John Murray mentioned this. When you look back in 30 years, Brady Mahomes might be the greatest quarterback matchup in Super Bowl history. What's the best one you can recall seeing up to this point, Brent? This is Super Bowl 55.
Oh, you know, there have been so many great, great performances. Obviously, this is going to be the focal point of that. There were periods. John Elway took the Broncos into five, had a great showdown with Chris Sims and the Giants. Coach Parcells out in the Rose Bowl once was a great shootout in that game. Then, you know, you've got the great run by Joe Montana. Kenny Anderson, actually, of the Bengals, took him on in a Super Bowl we did up in Pontiac, Michigan, back through the years. But this one's going to get so much attention simply because the numbers involving Tom Brady are incredible to me. I just never, ever imagined somebody at the age of 43 going into his 10th Super Bowl. Now, Elway played in five, and that was number one until Brady passed him with the New England Patriots. But now, Matt and Tim, for somebody at the age of 43, and until the second half, when he had the string of three interceptions, played as well as he did against the Packers, I never thought we would see it. It's a remarkable story. Obviously, everybody who knows me knows I think Patrick Mahomes is the best in the game today. And so we have got the greatest of all time against the youngest best right now, if you will. But I think a couple of things are being overlooked in this. And I must say, I really don't know what would have happened had the Green Bay coach gone for the touchdown instead of kick the field goal. We all screamed at the TV. But we don't know what might have happened after that. You know what I say? But I think we're overlooking how good the Tampa Bay defense is. I think their defense won that game yesterday for them, and there was a back-to-back snaps, not to be forgotten, that remarkable play at the end of the first half when the Packers defensive staff went brain dead and let Miller get behind on the corner and Brady hit it for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Then the Packers have the ball to start the second half, but they fumble and Brady gets it back on a first and goal at the 8 and throws a touchdown pass. So you put up back-to-back touchdowns on snaps. The defense got the ball back for you, and do not forget that the defense got the ball back from Rodgers with 2:08 to go in that first half, and that's what allowed him to do it. So I think that the big difference with Tampa Bay, the defense for me, and the organization and the front office, I think that their signing of Leonard Fournette, when you watch that 20-yard touchdown run yesterday, just how worth it was. And they picked Fournette up off the street, of course, and signed him after Jacksonville let him go. So it was an organizational win. Yeah, their coaching staff was the best, but I don't look at one play and a coach makes a decision that I don't like. I'm not sure that would have spun it in Green Bay's direction.
Yeah, I agree with you. I talked about this last night on a couple VSiN shows that everybody's going to focus on Matt LaFleur and the decision to kick the field goal, but I thought the Packers essentially lost the game at the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half on a 14-10 game when Aaron Rodgers had the ball, turns into 28-10, just like that. Michael Lombardi tweeted this yesterday. He said, Packers have no one to blame but themselves. They screwed this game up every way you can, offense, defense, special teams. And I thought the coaching was incredibly poor yesterday, and the performance on the field wasn't much better. I don't think you can find many faults with the way Aaron Rodgers played, Brent, but there were a couple mistakes he made. He missed Alan Lazard wide open at the goal line in the first half, and the Packers had to settle for a field goal. And he probably should have tucked the ball and run on third down when the Packers had third and goal late in the game. And he stopped, threw across his body, threw a bullet that had no chance in the double coverage, and that kind of forced LaFleur's hand. He didn't want – I don't think, Brent, you've seen this before. I don't think LaFleur wanted to make that decision. It's a really tough decision. I think Rodgers should have lobbied – Rodgers, I think, should have lobbied to go for it, take the decision out of LaFleur's hands, and made more of a case that, hey, we got to go for it on fourth down. But he just trotted off the field passively and was okay with the decision. What do you think of that?
I agree with your observation. And Rodgers is usually very strong-willed. But, you know, Steve Mackinnon had that stat last week, Matt. Teams that play during the regular season and the meet in the championship, way more than 50% of the time, the winner of the first game wins the second one. And, you know, during the season, Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback in the red zone, and repeatedly the Fox broadcast crew mentioned that yesterday. I just quickly glanced at the play-by-play, so this is an unofficial count. But I've got Aaron Rodgers with 10 snaps at the Tampa Bay 10-yard line or better, and only one touchdown.
Yep.
That defense really shut down on him. And I thought he was frustrated. The two-point conversion that was dropped in the end zone on him could have moved him within 3 points at one time instead of left it at a 5. That was a hostile. And then let us not forget that during Brady's 3 interceptions, even though Green Bay is able to score off the first one, they go 3 and out after the next 2, okay? Uh-huh. They couldn't do anything when they had an opportunity. But, Matt, I agree with you. If I'd have been Aaron Rodgers and I thought we should have gone for it, I'd have been right over there in his face on the sideline and said, we got to go for it right now. We can't gamble on getting the ball back, and they never did get it back. But it allowed Rodgers in the press conference afterwards to be able to say, it wasn't my decision. Wasn't my decision.
Right.
And that's just kind of slipping out the back door, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, a pass that he has hit so many times, the back shoulder to Davante Adams. Adams probably should have made that catch, but still was a little off the mark. That's another one that they had to settle for a field goal. We're talking to Brent Musburger. Brent, you mentioned it, and I hit on it with Danielle to open the show. You know, as much as the Packers did make their fair of mistakes coaching and, you know, on the field, I thought Todd Bowles really took advantage of David Bakhtiari being out on the left side of that line. You know, he is rated by Pro Football Focus as the number one left tackle in football, and the Rams didn't take advantage. He was Aaron Rodgers was clean all of last week, but you know, five sacks, was under pressure throughout the game, and looking ahead to the Super Bowl, and Eric Fisher now lost for the season, left tackle for the Chiefs. Do you anticipate a similar game plan where Todd Bowles and that defense are going to be incredibly aggressive against Patrick Mahomes?
Absolutely. And you just put your finger on a key element. Not only was Bruce Arians smart to hire Bowles and make him his defensive coordinator when he got that job before last season, Bowles, in my opinion, I know everybody raves about the offensive coordinator because he gets so much camera time with the Kansas City Chiefs. But to me, if I'm looking for a minority head coach and somebody who's been there before and I want to charge, it is Mr. Bowles by far. And you put your finger right on the reason why I'm hesitant to go all in on Kansas City, okay? Not only are they going to be without Fisher, and they moved their right tackle over to left, they put Rimmers over there, but the two tackles who started the season are now out. Schwartz and Fisher are both gone and probably will not play in a Super Bowl. I think people who want to bet this Super Bowl they're going to have to look beyond all of the hype involving Brady versus Mahomes, but look at what the Chiefs are going to try to do with the tackle positions. Because when you put Barrett or Pierre-Paul on the outside, you got two monsters coming with speed, and they're going to have to block them. Now, I was disappointed that Green Bay didn't adjust and put more tight ends over there to chip on those two guys, because they had a field day, especially against the right side. But you put your finger on, I think, the very key element, and Bowles and that Tampa Bay defense will be ready to go against those two tackles. And if you can keep Mahomes, now he's still going to complete his passes, he's still going to find Kelce, he's going to find Tyreek Hill, but if you can keep him in there and bottle him up and get to him a couple of times and get him rattled, you got a chance to win. My visual test of these teams, I make this game a pick 'em right now, okay? I know the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite, and understandably so, because the AFC, I actually bet the AFC back in September when they were -2. And I don't consider myself having any value right now, just because of what you say. That tackle situation is critical regarding the Chiefs going forward. And let's see who they activate. Let's see what they attempt to do here in the next 2 weeks.
And Tampa Bay playing in its own stadium, first time in Super Bowl history that's happened. John Avello at DraftKings said he thinks that's worth a point, maybe a point and a half to the number. John Murray at the Westgate said zero. He doesn't think it's worth anything to the line. So the Buccaneers up in the Packers 31-26. That game goes over the total. And the Chiefs handle the Bills 38-24. That one flies over the total. Brent, it's right now at South Point, Chiefs -3 and 56.5. Most places open 3.5, 57.5. I think this is a tough game to have a strong opinion on at this point. What about you?
Yeah, I totally agree, Matt. Obviously, I would say over, that this game will get into the 60s with these two offenses. But I don't know what to make of Tampa Bay in their own stadium. Let's remember they lost there to Kansas City, and let's remember that stat of teams playing. We'll have to see what Steve comes up with on Super Bowl rematches of teams that met each other during the regular season. That'll be out on Point Spread Weekly. But I honestly do not have a solid opinion. I think either team is capable of winning this game, but I don't know that I'm going to improve my wager one way or the other. A -2 with the Chiefs. I've been in on the Chiefs because I see them all the time and watch them. But I go to what Tim's point is, Matt. Fisher's a huge loss, especially when you have lost now two of your top three offensive tackles coming into the season. I think it makes a difference. And I'm also expecting that Tampa Bay's safeties will be back and ready to go. Whitehead was a monster yesterday, delivering a couple of hits right on the football against Jones, forcing that second fumble at the start of the second half. So I think there's things to watch. I am interested, Matt. When will Mr. Cornegay and the guys come out with their individual props and here at the South Point? When are we going to get the props on the game?
Hey, Chris Andrews here at the South Point just tweeted out the first round of Super Bowl props. He just put them up earlier today, and the Westgate's going to roll out, you know, 500 props, however many the Westgate puts out. It's just a monster book. That's going to be Thursday night.
And then Circa, yeah. Brent, they've got Super Bowl MVP on Thursday, player to score first on Friday, and then the rest of the props at Circa will come out over the weekend.
Interesting. You know, the first player to score, Tim, I have to tell you, because I played in a private league with a bunch of guys, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a little fun on the Super Bowl, and I know a lot of people bet the coin flip heads or tails just because they want action when it starts, but I would recommend them taking a shot, take a favorite on one of the team or maybe a long shot, spread a few bucks around. I find that to be very, very entertaining because, you know, who the heck knows? You know, you got as good a chance as anybody else on that first to score. So I'll be looking forward to Circa bringing that prop out.
It was Kyle Juszczyk last year, I believe. It was a very long shot to score the game's first touchdown.
I think it was. Yeah.
You look at the highest totals in Super Bowl history 2 years ago. The total was 56 in that Patriots Rams game. That was 13-3. I don't think we're going to see a game like that, Brent.
No, I don't think so. I still remember watching that game because I had the Gronk first to score, and he caught the pass. I'll never forget it, inside the 5-yard line.
Yep.
And then Sony Michel carted it in for the Patriots, and I didn't cash that bet on the Gronk.
Well, you cashed in top 100 in the Westgate Super Contest this year. Brent Musburger, voice of the Las Vegas Raiders, my guys in the desert. Brent, great to talk with you again today. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right, more NFL betting when we come back.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. This is My Guys in the Desert, live from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to your hosts, Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, Tim, let's talk Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Why not? Every show in the world's doing that today. But a big disappointment for me because I had the Packers -3 in the game. Packers 7-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers in his first home game in the NFC Championship, taking on a Bucs team with a 43-year-old quarterback and a Bucs team that benefited from a 4-0 turnover margin the previous week. Basically got handed the game by the Saints. You think, how could the Packers play any worse? How could they coach any worse than they did yesterday?
Yeah, and so many things to hit on about this game. Obviously, the end of the first half, the end of the game, kicking the field goal, lack of execution. You know, that back shoulder, Davante Adams, the interception, questionable refereeing. I thought that you know, the interception that set up the Scotty Miller touchdown, which once again, It was coaching malpractice to allow Scotty Miller to just streak buck naked down the sideline right by Kevin King. That all being said, I thought it was pass interference prior to the interception. You know, everyone was applauding the interception, but I also thought, you know, there was a pull shoulder grab on Alan Lazard. So it was really a frustrating scene. And, you know, something Brent brought up too. You know, Matt, they had back-to-back interceptions. We had that video of Aaron Rodgers telling his defense, hey, get a stop. Yeah. And Tom Brady airmailed a throw to Mike Evans. It deflects off his fingers. Jaire Alexander makes an incredible pivot to make the interception. And the Packers go 3-and-out. Mm-hmm. And then they get another interception. As much as we want to, you know, crush Mike Pettine, he called up a really nice blitz. Darnell Savage gets there in his face. Tom Brady just throws a lollipop. Another interception, 3-and-out. So the opportunities were there for the Packers. And, you know, they made coaching mistakes, but they also didn't execute on the field.
You're right, and that was frustrating. And, you know, like I said, it's hard to find many faults with the way Aaron Rodgers played, but there's a lot he could have done to change that result yesterday. And you can't put it all on Matt LaFleur like some people are trying to, or Mike Pettine. I do think Pettine's brain cramp at the end of the first half was unforgivable and very costly. But Rodgers' quote about LaFleur's decision to kick a field goal when trailing by 8 on fourth down from the 8-yard line with 2:09 remaining, it wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking. Above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but it wasn't my decision. And that's where I say, as a MVP, you have to step in and help your coach make the decision. Matt LaFleur was under pressure. He did not want to make that decision. He wanted Aaron Rodgers to say, let's go for it,
right,
and take that decision out of his hands. He didn't do it. This is my problem with Rodgers and his passive-aggressive approach. You know, when it's over, slip the blame onto the coach and, like Brent said, slip out the back door. There's a lot more Rodgers could have done to change that result yesterday.
Yeah, one thing, too, about that third down that you've talked about, and we've shown the screenshot. I don't think he gets into the end zone there, Matt, ultimately.
Well, if he tucks it and runs for the corner, but I think he's going to get awfully close.
He's going to get at least to the 3-yard line. And then Matt LaFleur is going for it. There's no doubt you go for it in that spot. Now, I think they should have went for it like the rest of the world on fourth and goal from the 9-yard line. But if he runs right there instead of forcing it, like you talked about, you know, against his body, trying to sneak one in there to Devontae Adams, which really had no chance of being completed, there was an opportunity to pick up yards to make it an easier play to go for it. And, oh, by the way, if you don't get it, then it's Tampa Bay backed up on their goal line. You have all three timeouts. You have the 2-minute warning. Mm-hmm. There was an opportunity there. That right there, Aaron Rodgers deserves blame for not tucking it and running and making a play to not even allow the shadow of a doubt to come into LaFleur's mind. If it's at the 3-yard line, you're going for it on fourth and goal from
the 3. We're watching the photo right here. If he tucks it at this point and runs for the corner, he's going to get awfully close.
Yeah.
To the goal line, then that takes that decision out of LaFleur's hands, too. They're going to go for it, obviously. Still should have gone for it. But anyway, big offseason story. Will Aaron Rodgers be back with the Pack? Major financial implications to consider. I think the Packers are going to do what they have to hold on to him. But the top potential Aaron Rodgers destinations in 2021, according to Pro Football Talk, 49ers. Man, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Patriots. Steelers, Raiders, Colts, Saints. And we'll see how the soap opera works out. I think he's going to be in Green Bay.
He's going to be in Green Bay. He's going to be in Green
Jimmy Vaccaro joins us next here on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. We're gearing up for the big game here at VSiN, and of course, keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week, we've updated our programming lineup. The Lombardi Line is now 2 hours every weekday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, and we're excited to introduce The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. We also have our special big game preview show with Brent Musburger coming soon to get you ready for all the Super Bowl betting and prop action. You can always find our lineup on vsin.com or in your daily VSiN subscriber email. And make sure you check out The Nuts weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray.
All right, Jimmy Vaccaro, jump in here, man. How was the weekend? Now we have I wish we had a Packers-Chiefs Super Bowl, damn
Me
it.
Me too.
We have a Buccaneers-Chiefs Super Bowl, and you have Chiefs minus 3, total of 56.5.
You know, before we get started, there's something on my mind. I just gotta let it out.
Go what for it, Jimmy.
Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay?
Oh, yeah, go for it, Jimmy.
You know, after watching Aaron Rodgers yesterday, nobody knows what he's going to do, right? He doesn't even know. He's very up in the air. Well, put me in the same spot. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'll tell you one reason why I'm really considering moving on.
Uh-huh.
You got an outfit like Mike Palm and Derek Stevens. Two Johnny-come-lately outfits who are just squeezing everything out for themselves. Mike Palm, there wasn't four people that knew the kid a year ago. Now he's all over the place. And Derek Stevens, you're booking higher than the giraffes behind back there at the Circa. I understand all of that. You're getting a lot of publicity, but like, will you leave some room for an old timer? I ain't got time to keep telling you, you know, Jimmy wants to retire, but I still need a little bit more money. So please, palm reader. Who said that? Who brought that up? Palm reader.
I'm not going to take blame for that.
All right. So listen, I'm done. Great weekend. We did absolutely incredibly well considering everything that was flying around. As we talked about last week, you know, volume is the key to this racket. You know, you get a lot of volume. Obviously, you can lose another game or two, but still the cash is there because you're writing so much business. And we did very, very well. We won a little bit of money, like on the straight bets with the first game. In the second game, we got knocked out pretty good. But because we had so much volume on the first and second game, and it fell right with the parlays and the teasers and everything else. So, Chris and his outfit just did absolutely incredible work to put us where we are. So, and you know what, kids? This is going to be a monster. Already, reading the paper, you saw where there's a lot of big bets floating around already. Chris took about 100,000 total on the plus 3.5. Not one individual bet, but a lot of bets. So he went to 3. And a little bit of money on the money line, too. So these are the things that keep me juiced, my friend. It's going to be a monster.
Well, it's going to be a big 2 weeks, obviously. Sure. And it was a big weekend. I was a little bit surprised. BetMGM said the Buccaneers' upset of the Packers was their biggest win on a single event in the past year. We've got photos here of a couple tickets that were put in at the South Point over the weekend. Buccaneers plus 4 for 53,000. Bucks plus 3.5 for 110,000. Mm-hmm. What was the result for you on the Buccaneers' upset of the Packers?
It wasn't that bad, only because we had a lot of early money on the favorite. I mean, a lot of early money. Right. And then we knocked out a lot of junk with the teasers. Actually, you know, it's usually the other way around, but we needed the over. So obviously, with that chiming in there, it really did good. And the props did very well. The alternative point spreads did very well. The halftime did very well, and the first half also. So, like I said, after you just wrench everything together and you looked at the win yesterday, again, I think that the PC was only like 4.2%, which normally you're trying to hit a 5.5 to 6, but like because we had so much volume, it wound up a very, very good day for us. And Mr. Andrews, I call him Mr. Andrews because I respect him, even though I'm older than him, and we only grew up about 10 miles apart. You know, he did a masterful job on the future book. We are in a great shape no matter who wins it, so that's like putting some money in your left front pocket. You know it's there, and like you can utilize it after the game or maneuver. And as you see, Chris got 2 pages of props already, and so him and Nick, is gone anymore. Nick got a new job. Him and Lou and Joe put up some props already. So I'm pretty juiced up. I really am.
So despite the circuit taking a lot of business, you still had a big handle here at the South Point?
Well, you know, like I said, leave some room for the older guys. You know, I love Derek Stevens. He's a monster. He's great for the industry. But you know what? We were there at the beginning when we used to handwrite the tickets. We were there at the beginning when they said, Jimmy, come over here, and these two are going to fight. So I had to break them up. Hey, Jimmy, come over here. There's a guy threw a cigar on the floor. That's over with. But don't forget the people who help you get to that point. That's all I'm asking. Is that too much?
I don't think so.
Right. Thank you, buddy.
What have you seen so far for the Super Bowl?
What have I seen? We've taken, like I said, about 100,000 total to plus 3.5. We've had a lot of little things so far. You know what you can really tell? Well, first of all, the square balls, they won't bet till next week. Mm-hmm. So everything you take now, I tell you what, what I think is going to happen is like the people who obviously are putting themselves in good positions. If you ever go to 2.5 between now and next week, they'll scoop that up immediately, minus mm-hmm. 2.5. Obviously, if it's 3.5, they're going to take it. So there's going to be a lot of dancing with the number. But again, a lot of early moves on the so-called people who are maneuvering. And next weekend, you know, from Thursday on is when you really, really, really get to see exactly what you're going to do for the weekend. I'm not talking this Thursday. I'm talking the following Thursday. And The drive-in from traffic looks like it'll be a little bit easier this year for the from California people. The Arizona people, I think, will start to show up also. So I look for an all-time handle. Make no mistake about it. Even with this, with craziness that's going on.
Okay, so I wanted to bring up this bet. You said Chris Andrews has you in good position on a futures book. Mm-hmm. In March, somebody walked in here and bet $10,000 on the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl at 60-1 odds.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but you're still in decent shape on the Buccaneers, huh?
Yeah. And I tell you what, with them winning the conference, it was a nice pickup also yesterday on it. So, like I said, this racket, if you know what you're doing and you know what you're doing early with the future book, then it usually winds up. That doesn't mean it's always going to be in your favor. But I would venture to say, I've never really asked anybody, out of every futures that we take in every joint from here to Kalamazoo, we might lose 2 out of 10 because obviously there's so much room to work with, and you can maneuver once you get to the point, like, you know, who's out there that can hurt you. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do. So it'll be interesting. But like, I'd rather have Chris watch my money than anybody, believe me.
Actually, if you go to Andrews Sports on Twitter, you can see the two pages of Super Bowl props that you guys have put up here in the South Point. You think it's going to be an all-time handle on the game, huh?
Yes, I surely do. And naturally, you know, we got people, and the shows will be great. You know, with Vincenzo, who's up to date on everything that's going on. It really works well for us, and you know, he'll be obviously, you know, coming next weekend. I hope to do a lot more than I've been doing as far as like interviews or whatever, but so far so good, so it's going to be a monster. Mr. Humans.
Jimmy B, thanks for stopping by. We have to take a break.
Goodbye.
All right.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari, and this is My Guys in the Desert, live from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to your hosts, Matt Humans and Tim Murray.
Thanks, Danielle. Excited to bring on our next guest, former NFL quarterback. You know him from many stops in the media, now hosting the Sean Salisbury Show in Houston, Texas on Sports Talk 790. A friend of mine, it is Sean Salisbury. Sean, appreciate you jumping on, and we got a lot to get to. What's going on with the Houston Texans? We'll leave that for last. We'll go to the games that we saw yesterday, and I think the topic du jour is what we saw unfold yesterday with the Green Bay Packers. And I'm going to leave this a little open-ended because I feel like there's so many differing opinions on what frustrated them the most. Both Matt and I had the Packers -3 yesterday, so we're a little on edge. But, you know, from what you saw, Mike Pettine's gaffes, maybe some LaFleur gaffes, what if you're a Packers fan or a Packers backer, what frustrated you the most about their performance yesterday?
Yeah, it's great to be on with you guys. I guess the frustrating part for me, and I actually had the Buccaneers beating the Kansas City Chiefs back in August. So nice. My two teams are alive. I thought Brady was going to win a Super Bowl, and I still do, although it's going to be difficult with Mahomes and that group. I think the number one thing a coach's job is to put your team in position to be successful, whether it's a defensive coordinator, head coach, or offensive coordinator, or anybody else. Secondly, control what you can control. And I think in two major instances, they didn't control what they could control. And to me, that is, it reeks of big game, what were you thinking? And did you get caught up in the moment, or did you get out in front of it and think two or three plays ahead? Like a guy like Belichick's always done, like Andy Reid seems to be able to do, and what he's doing on a regular basis. One, with the it's not just the call or what Pettine did just before half. It's common sense with the player, too, and football IQ. When there's 8 seconds to go and no timeouts, and there you're in a position where even a completion 12 yards or more down the field will not allow a team to run up, spike the ball, or kick a field goal. It's almost physically impossible. Now, 3 yard out cut, kick a 60-yard field goal, different story. But you're talking. It's just the ability to. I trained seventh graders. It would know that you can't peak and play for a field goal as a defensive back you got to make them catch and tackle in front of you, halftime over. So whatever it was, man, zone, three deep, and you didn't put two deep behind you, which I would have done in the first place, but because of the situation, the game, it was just low IQ football. Not that they're dumb, but that play was low IQ football. Coaching staff and the players not understanding the situational part of the game. Obviously, not putting your team in best position to be successful and control what you can control. Keeping a guy in front of you, you can't control by playing deeper damn near than the 10-yard line because it wouldn't have mattered. And then in the case of Matt LaFleur, listen, he's a hell of a football coach. He's got a hell of a quarterback. And he even said he wants him back and all those things. Well, if you got the best player in the NFL, which he said, I got the MVP in the league, of course I want him back. Well, doesn't that apply to in-game situations? You got the best player in football. You needed a touchdown anyway. Even if you didn't get it there with the timeouts, wouldn't you rather make a team go the distance being backed up and possibly get them three and out and they punt and you get the ball at midfield opposed to kicking off after a field goal? They return it to the 25 or 30 or spot it after a touchback, and now even a punt there pushes you back to the 20. The common sense part of it, put the ball in Rodgers' hands and let him do his thing. If it doesn't work, at least you went down swinging or with an oar in your hand out in the middle of the ocean. You didn't give them the best chance to succeed. I thought it was a horrible mistake, and in neither situation did they control what they can control. The rest you can't take care of. A tip ball, a bad play, a bad throw, a bad catch, drop ball. They missed out on controlling what you could control, and it cost them, especially after three picks by Brady, and you didn't come away with more points.
Sean, there's a lot to talk about with Aaron Rodgers, but if you're a quarterback, you're in his shoes, do you tuck it and run for the end zone on that third down play? And before the fourth down, do you lobby harder with LaFleur to go for it instead of kicking the field goal? Do you have to be more assertive in that point if you're Aaron Rodgers?
I would think so, Matt. There's nobody in the league, I mean, there's a lot of them, that would command more respect from a guy who's earned it there. And right now, Brady, I get, but I'm talking about when we know, especially this year, that this team's going where Rodgers takes them. I don't know how much they bantered about it on the sidelines, but I would have imagined that Aaron would have put his foot down and battled to have an opportunity to put that ball in his hand. I would hope so. Mm-hmm. And he would be justified in doing it. As far as the third down play, so easy. Listen, and I've been in that situation where I'd have screwed it up somehow myself. Is that a guy who's made every play this year, it looked from our camera angle and rewatching the game as I have in the tape, yes, run, and even if you don't get in, you're going to get close.
Right.
And now instead of fourth and where you are, now it's at the half or 1 yard line, you would have taken the field goal decision out of it and would have gone for it for sure, even though it's 5 or 6 yards. So, yes, I definitely think he missed on that one, but he's so good with his arm, he trusts it so much. I get it, and you really never know peripheral what's happening behind you. It's a feel thing, and he normally feels everything completely and 100% to the fullest, and, you know, it just missed it. He missed a decision, and it's the position's a game of decisions, and he's usually making the right one. He didn't there, and he'll look back and probably say, I should have ran, but he didn't. So there's two more. So it comes out of 6 or 8 plays a game, and we just named 4 decisions or 4 plays that had happened.
What did you think of Tom Brady's performance? He threw 3 picks in the second half, but again, does enough to get the win.
And that's exactly right. In the way they started, you post a big score early and hang on. And if right. You would have just said, if you would have told anybody before the game, Brady's going to throw 3 picks on the road against Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau, you would have never thought they'd come out of it. Yet I think Brady's like 3-1 or 4-1. In types of games like that or a playoff where he's thrown picks and still found a way.
Right.
It's because the times and when he throws them and or the times and when he makes up for those interceptions are enormous. The clutch throw before half, the ability to make a throw on 3rd and 2 to get a first down, not take a sack, all those things. And like I said, you look on the raw numbers, you say, how in the hell did he throw 3 picks and Aaron Rodgers not beat him? A guy like me wouldn't have beat him, but a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you'd think. But, neither quarterback played the best game of their career. But Tampa made more plays early, and the key is they got a couple stops after turnovers when they threw 6 passes, went 3 and out, and punted, and didn't come away with points. Now, it's not just Brady. but it's the Tampa defense that put a little bit of pressure on and actually reared their head at the right time to prevent that momentum from completely switching when Aaron had him going in the right direction.
Chatting with Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback and now a host, has been for quite some time, down there at Sports Talk 790 in Houston, part of the iHeart family, which is a family we are a part of as well. Sean, as much as I want to get your thoughts on what we saw in the Kansas City-Buffalo game, I don't want to run out of time before picking your brain on what is happening with the Houston Texans organization right now. Who are they going to hire as a head coach, and is there a way to mend this relationship with Deshaun Watson?
And real quick, the better team won yesterday, and trying to stop Kansas City is, you might as well have 15 guys on the field. They are just phenomenal. They are phenomenal in what they do and how they approach it. As far as here, the speculation is it's beyond fixable, at least what we've heard, and that he wants to leave no matter who the coach is. And listen, for my money, I don't know what Eric Bieniemy else he needs to do to be qualified to be hired. And I don't want to hear anybody tell me it's just because he's black. He's more qualified than just the color of his skin. Now, obviously, diversity and interviewing, but Eric Bieniemy is far more qualified than, I've heard it, well, got to hire him because Deshaun wants an African-American or people want. No, Eric Bieniemy is far more qualified than just that. So that's number one. And he's been around the best coach the last couple years in a league. And he's been in a position coach and learned the hard way through some success and some failure as a coach. And he was a player. He gets it. And he's a leader. And when Mahomes and Andy Reid endorse you, I don't know what they're waiting on. I really don't now, other than the season to end. That's one. So I think a lot of people lean towards Eric Bieniemy because the success and the development of the quarterback and watching this offense. Now, they have weapons, but that's where it starts. You got to have a coach who has the guts to put that kind of stuff in play. Eric Bieniemy does. I'm a huge fan. Secondly, as far as can they fix it? I don't know, Tim. Matt, I really don't. I'm one that thinks you would have to be absolutely insane to trade Deshaun Watson, because aside from Mahomes, there's one other player for the next 7 to 10 years in this league, or the next guy in line that you would build a franchise around, and it's him. You spend your whole career as a coach, a general manager, an owner, trying to put yourself in position to get that guy, and you got the guy, and you want to trade him in order to develop somebody else. It's just stupid. So I don't know if you can fix it. I would hope Nick Caserio and Eric Bieniemy, if he's hired or whoever it is, can soften the blow a little bit and convince Deshaun that the ownership, they're going to stay out of this. Jack Easterby is going to stay out of this. Let's develop trust here. But really, none of us know, because it goes up and down daily. The one thing that we haven't heard is Deshaun publicly say it himself. And when he does, I think it becomes even more real. But this isn't fake. It's obvious there's too much smoke for there not to be some sort of fire around this. I'm just hoping that they don't do something silly and give him away for a very inexpensive price, because he's worth 3 or 4 first rounders and minimum of 1 starter, considering the value for a guy this good and a character guy like him. But it's going to be a long next couple months or next couple weeks, depending on the coach, and then keeping Deshaun Watson in tow.
That's going to be interesting to watch. Sean Salisbury, one last thing. We have less than a minute. Do you think any of these big-name quarterbacks are going to be switching teams? Do you fully expect Aaron Rodgers to be back with the Packers?
I can't even imagine one scenario where Aaron Rodgers is not the Green Bay Packers quarterback. They'd be crazy. I mean, they'd be nuts to do that after this. He's in the prime of his career, playing better than he ever has. And I think Stafford's moving. I'm not sure the Saints feel like they have their quarterback. And with the quarterback, the head coaching change, I think Carson Wentz is probably going to end up staying in Philly. Stafford and Garoppolo may be the two biggest changes, and they may be for each other.
Sean, always love picking your brain, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you down the road.
You guys are awesome. Honored to be on. Thank you.
There he is. Sean Salisbury, host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Vinny Maiulo, top of the hour. It's My Guys in the Desert on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.